Hello, this is Councilman Joseph Simpson for District 9, and you're listening to the afternoon show with Amos Brown on AM 1310 The Light.
All right, so what did you all think of the director of the FBI? You know J. Edgar Hoover wouldn't have done a speech like that. Or he probably would have said, yeah, there's black people there, I'm communist and stuff. Anyway, 239-1310, let me start with Jane. Hi, Jane. Jane, you're on the air.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am, it's you.
Oh, thank you so much. That conversation was wonderful, Amos.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what?
What?
We're going to listen to it again tomorrow so that all the churches can listen to it.
Well, it'll be on our website by this evening at praiseindy.com, both the audio version and the video version, so that everybody can see it. Because did you ever think an FBI director would give a speech like that?
Wasn't that wonderful? I mean, it included everybody in such a wonderful way to make the point clear.
Well, the other thing that struck me was Director Comey saying that law enforcement needs to acknowledge, you know, its history and its warts, you know, especially talking about that law enforcement in the history of America has enforced the status quo, a status quo that was often brutally unfair to disfavored groups. You can say that almost about any country.
See there? He came right out with it.
All right, appreciate it, Jane. Thank you. Let me go to Jeffrey. Thank you, Jane. Let me go to Jeffrey at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
And yeah, I think Jago, who was probably rolling his grave right about now. You know, Amos, I don't want to sound like a cynic, but, you know, if I'm Joe Blow, the white average cop on the police, am I really taking all this into heed, you know? Especially if I had this us against them mentality. How much do you think it's really going to resonate with the average beat cop who basically say, well, you know, these blacks and these Latinos, you know, I got to deal with them every day, all that kumbaya liberalism, you really think this is going to register to your average cop?
That's a very good question. I don't know. I think it's the kind of... It's the kind of speech that ought to be in the training.
And you know, I watch Fox News. I just want to see what they're up to. And they hardly mention anything about this speech. They are talking Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, saying, now, wait a minute. You know, NBC, CBS, ABC, MSN, CNN, they covered this speech. But Fox, if they did, it was very, very little of it. You know, I know Bill Bragg, the chief of police in the NYPD, you know, he has always talked about this. But, you know, you got a Pat Lynch, the head of the police union in New York City, who basically is a demagogue, and I would be surprised, a racist. And I saw all the black cops behind him after the Eric Garner incident, basically saying, well, Eric Garner didn't do that, you know, he wouldn't be.
Well, now, speaking of New York City, there's an article this morning in the New York Times that says very quietly, Mayor de Blasio in New York and leaders of police unions, maybe not the one but the other ones have sat down and talked. In fact, one of the critics of the mayor, who's head of the sergeants union, had a conversation with the mayor at somebody's house.
Uh-huh.
where they got out of either turf and they sat down like men and talked about it, and the mayor has I think now has a better understanding of some of the issues of law enforcement.
Do they have an understanding when the mayor talks about how he has to have that talk with his son when he goes out on the streets, you know, when a rogue racist cop approaches him just because he got that Jimi Hendrix afro and he's one of those did you hear about this politician down in Mississippi?
Yeah, I heard about a politician in Mississippi that used the N-word on the bench, and I guess now he's under arrest for being stupid or something.
Yeah, it basically said black folks are lazy, and I get a lot of black folks. You know, I mean, it kills when these guys say, you know, to give these interviews to these magazines, and they say, well, I was misquoted, I was taken out of context. Really? But, you know, you got this mindset. We got to overcome this white supremacist mindset, which has been a part of this country's DNA for the last 300 to 400 years.
All right, my brother.
We got to overcome that.
I got that. I need to move on because a lot of other people, I think, want to comment on the speech. Let me go to Marcia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Marcia. Hi, Amos. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for, number one, sharing that speech. That was really, really moving. I didn't know that the new director of the FBI was that sensitive, it seems like, to the human interest that's going on out there. But one thing that I was really befuddled about was, one, that the police departments voluntarily have to send in information about the activity that they've done in their communities voluntarily, and the FBI is saying that they have a problem with that because they don't get all the important data that they need to make an intelligent investigation. I think a law needs to be made where it is mandatory that all paperwork is turned in, not voluntarily, because that's how police hide a lot of things. They don't have to send in the paperwork. So I'm just putting that out there. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, God bless you. You're quite
okay.
Welcome. Let me go to Imhotep at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, Amos?
What'd you think?
Well, before I get to that, I want to make one correction. Maybe he was mistaken. It may not be official, but there are anecdotal data from Harvard and Center of Justice Policy and places like that in D.C. that have taken count of shooting, because every police action shooting is accounted for by a police record. And since 2011, there were 686 people shot by police, and 388 of them were black people.
So, and this is a, this is,
did you hear that?
So this is a group up at Harvard.
Harvard and the Justice Policy Institute in D.C., they do track those shootings. They are doing that. It's not an FBI organization, but they are looking at this because, you know, we've had a lot of think tanks trying to fight this problem that's going on. So it's been 686 shots since 2011, and 388 have been black people. Now, we're 12.7, 13% of the population, yet we account for over 50% of the police action shootings. That is a issue.
Well, hopefully the folks at Harvard have gotten in touch with the FBI and shared that information. But I go back to the last caller. I am surprised. I knew that police departments provide data to the FBI on a voluntary basis, that it is not mandatory, it's not required, it's not, hey, if you don't do this, you don't get any federal funds. And one of the legacies, and I guess you have to call it a positive legacy, of J. Edgar Hoover was, he was obsessed with data, and he was obsessed with trying to find out the data going on in order to use that information to help spot crime trends, to help deal with crime. So I understand the FBI's desire to be that repository of information about crimes. And I am really surprised that there hasn't been any kind of tracking, not just of shooting incidents involving police officers and civilians, because that would record if somebody, you know, what is it, this incident last night where somebody shot at an IMPD officer, he was not injured. But that's the kind of information that ought to be collected and shared across the country.
It should all be collected and shared, and just like, you know, what could help the situation, mm-hmm, are the black police. Officer Pierce was on Saturday with Chief Height,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, they talked some black history, and I got in and we talked a little black history, and I asked him to really explain to the people what they had to go through.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from Chicago, I'm from Gere. Yeah. We know what went on in Chicago. They just settled a big lawsuit up in Chicago with the fire and the, I think it was fire and police not getting hired, so they got to go through and do a bunch of hiring. We know they have gone through heck and way they've been treated just to try to get on the force. And he said that. He said it was basically that the federal government mandated them to hire black police officers in this county,
mm-hmm,
and then when they got there, they were looked at and basically spit on. Mm-hmm. I think they can be a linchpin to help this situation,
mm-hmm,
and I think that some of requiring the police to live in the communities could be something to help the situation, and then ultimately just treat people fairly. They have to realize the media, not you per se, but a lot of people get their information from looking at a 15-minute bit on TV.
Right.
That is the most terrible way to learn and know about people. And I think they need to require them. And I go back to what me and you talked about, having at least 1 year college. It may not be to get to two, but if you can get 1 year in, get around different various peoples, get around universal thought and ideas, get away from the Koch brothers, and maybe that can help the community, Amos. And I thank you for taking my call.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Teresa at 239-1310. Hi there.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I just want to say that it was so refreshing to hear a man of leadership have words like that come out of his mouth, because it's so important that the leaders have integrity. It will cause those that are under them to behave a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got the head all messed up with a bad heart, it's worse. And that's, I've seen so much that's been bad, and I just can't tell you how refreshing it is to hear a man in leadership say that. And I believe in prayer, and I think if we keep praying and asking for leadership that have integrity, that will do right, that God will hear us. Because how are we going to stand as a country if we ever become attacked with everybody hating everybody in the country?
All right, good points, my sister. I appreciate it. Let me go to Robert at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos,
yes.
Your speech, I caught some of it last week and today. The speech was fine. I think it was a blue ribbon speech. But my question is, will it be followed up with action? If anyone out there, and the gentleman just spoke before the lady, a very learned individual, I can tell by the way he does his homework, and he's right. But what I can't understand is, like he said, people get their news 15-minute, 5-minute spot, 2-minute spot, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest people to read and understand the behavior, historical behavior of the Caucasian. This, you're dealing with an animal that has been on a black person's destruction. He come up with a plan for Planned Parenthood, the woman there, Margaret Sanger, and he come up with all of these methods, and it's directed directly at the black person.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get together and realize what is being done to us and recognize our enemy, this animal is not not a person that is working for the betterment of black people, because if he did, he wouldn't have rigged the system, a criminal justice system, the way it is. Here's a person, if I pay off a loan,
right,
get a loan, and I pay off a loan, then I'm through. Here's the person that unfortunately commits a crime, go to the penitentiary, gets out, and he's stigmatized the rest of his life. Now, that don't make sense under any circumstance. But what it is, and you got a governor that is asking for more money for the building of prisons than he is for schools. Now, that tells you everything.
I appreciate it, Robert. Let me go to Kyle at 239-1310. Hi there. Kyle?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
This is Tom.
I'm sorry. I'm reading the name wrong. Go ahead.
How are you doing, Amy?
I'm fine. What's up?
Good. You know, something that's never discussed, but I've been checking it out over the last few years, and how come there's rarely a case of a black police officer, A, killing a white criminal, or B, even killing a black? How come you never hear about that?
Oh, wait a minute. Now you've heard about the case in New York City recently, where an African American New York City rookie police officer has been charged with I don't know whether it's murder one, but charged with the crime for shooting an unarmed, I believe, African American in a stairwell.
That is one of the few. And look at that, Amos. He was charged with a crime. he was charged. He was indicted. But none of the other ones ever get indicted.
But it also goes back to what the director of the FBI said. We don't have the data. So there's the feeling in the community.
Yeah,
this doesn't exist, but we don't have the data to back it up one way or the other.
Right, we don't have the data, but Amos, we do know in this city, when is the last time you heard a black police officer killing a white, any kind of person, whether he had a weapon or not? When is the last time you heard that?
I've been 40 years, I'm scratching my head.
And I'm older than you, and I've been here, and I can't ever recall that. Nor do I ever remember the last time a black police officer killed a black person, especially whether they were armed or not.
Mm-hmm. And I think those are the kinds of things that, particularly with what was said in this speech, to have this discussion on all sides of the ball. The other thing in the director's speech was the acknowledgement of sin on the part of police.
Right.
I mean, without throwing police under the bus. He didn't throw, his profession under the bus, but he acknowledged
sin.
He acknowledged there was sin. And I think I think part of his point is to have a difficult conversation. Both sides have to admit their sin.
And that stuff has never come from the director of the FBI in its history.
No. And J. Edgar Hoover is probably down there in you-know-what saying, can I go to a colder spot in hell today?
No, we won't even talk about J. Edgar Hoover.
No, we're going. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Let me go to Georgia Boy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, my brother. How you doing?
I'm fine. So what'd you think of the speech?
I think it was a wonderful thing. And you know what? I got a copy of it. I carried it around in my car.
Oh, Lord.
I'm down here in Peachtree City, right outside of Atlanta. And these cops, but what I really want to say, man, if they stop me down in here and disrespect me, I'm putting this here speech on them. I got two copies, one up there in the glove compartment and one in my console. I'm not, bottom line, bro. Hey, as a matter of fact, I just came up the road, headed to Peachtree City. Well, when they stop you down here, if you're black, they take everything out of your trunk.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man, there's something else down in here.
All right.
But anyway, bro, it's trying to snow down in here.
Yeah, I heard it's cold. Watch that ice, because, they don't know how to deal with ice in the South.
Oh, man, they're crazy as hell down here.
All right, you drive safe. Stay safe. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's because of the expected below zero wind chills in Indianapolis tomorrow. The Department of Public Works has said they are not collecting your trash tomorrow. So if Thursday is your trash day, they are not picking up your trash tomorrow. They have not yet figured out when they're going to pick up your trash for tomorrow, but it will not be tomorrow because they're expecting wind chills below zero tomorrow. Anyway, afternoons with Amos, we're getting your reaction to the speech by James Comey, director of the FBI, talking about law enforcement and race. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoons with Amos. On the day Shelley is learning how to deal with primetime talk radio. It's afternoons with Amos after these.
Hello, this is Councilman Joseph Simpson for District 9, and you're listening to the afternoon show with Amos Brown on AM 1310 The Light.
It's not that we don't like Councilman Joe Simpson. Next time we go to break, go to one of the other little blue buttons on there instead of Joe. Shelley's doing a great job. This is her test to see, because if you can do this show, you can do anything here at the radio station. I mean, that's just... But yeah, not Joe anymore. Yeah, we love Joe. We're going to retire that one for the rest of the week. 239-1310. 239-1310. We're getting people's reaction, to our sharing with all of you in our 1:30 half hour, the speech by James Comey on law enforcement and race, director of the FBI. It's open lines also the rest of the way out. Is there a problem we can solve, question we can answer, an injustice we can bring justice to, some darkness we can shine a light on, some mess we can clean up? We were talking earlier about the school funding formula where IPS, the Republicans, are reducing over a two-year period. IPS is funding by an estimated $14.4 million, a drop of $4.3 million in the first budget year, and then a drop of $10 million in the second year. Meanwhile, rural school districts that are losing students would get more money under the Republican plan. For example, down in Milan, Indiana, where they had that basketball team way back in the day that won the state championship on a last second shot by Bobby Plump. We're talking in the early 50s, Milan. Milan's school funding would go from $7.3 million to $7.7 million, a $382,000 increase for a rural school district that's losing kids. IPS losing kids, they lose $14 million. A little Milan gains $382,000. I'm not mad at Milan, but what's fair is fair. Jasper, Indiana, that's mostly rural. Their school district is declining. They would get $917,000 more. The Summit Dearborn School Corporation down in Dearborn, Indiana, southern part of the state, they'd get an additional $313,000 in school funding. Rural district losing money. Anyway, let me go to Jay at 239-1310. Hi, Jay. Jay?
Listen to the speech, and I think that was an excellent speech. My only issue with it was when he was relating, where he came up with the example of an officer riding down the street, and he's looking at a black guy versus a white guy. They both dressed the same. Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is that I believe that our society uses that as an excuse to mask what's really going on. I don't believe that it's the fact that black people or whatever commit more crime. I believe that the community is actually putting more effort into unmasking the crime that black people do, because I have a lot of friends that are black and white. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of white friends that do crimes just as much as black people do. Some of them are labeled as white-collar crimes. They may not be selling cocaine, but they might be selling pills. Mm-hmm. But it's about the way that they do it. They may not wear certain clothing that most people would associate with thugs, or they may not ride the type of cars, but they do the same crimes, but instead of wearing jeans and sagging, they're wearing khakis and button-up shirts. Mm-hmm. So my whole issue is that I have no problem with the fact that if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If you're walking around sagging, if you're walking around looking like a thug, I don't have a problem with police officers, talking to you or questioning you because of the way that you look and you act. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not only black people that are doing crimes or minorities, it's also white people. It's just, I believe they put their efforts purposely into the urban communities, into bringing that out. They don't put the same type of, effort into Noblesville, Avon, and other places where there's a lot of crime being done. It's just not being done as openly, and it's done. They're doing it smarter to hide what they're doing.
Isn't that also a little like a little different between how can I put this? Because you talked about street crime versus sweet crime.
Versus white collar crime.
It's a different mindset. The cop on the corner, or the cop driving in the car, might see, you know, he's gonna see, you know, a lady stand out on the street corner, doing that thing, or they're gonna see somebody trying to be, sell pharmaceuticals out of a house.
Exactly. That's,
but if you're doing white collar crime in an office, or if the hookup is on the internet, and you, hey, meet me at the Starbucks at such and such and such and such, and you do it kind of subtle, like you know the way spies do it in those spy movies, you know, trading secrets.
Right.
That is harder to catch, And it's a different mindset.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that I believe they use that as an excuse to target minorities. Mm-hmm. When just like how you say, he'll see a black guy on one side of the street and a white guy on the other side of the street dressed the same, but they'll target the black guy. I believe they're targeting minorities, not just only because of the way they look, but because of that they are a minority. It's not always the fact that, that's just what I believe. Like, I don't think that, like, there's white, you know, people that sell drugs and do all that.
And going back is probably why them ISIS people are looking for blonde, blue-eyed folks to train to act a fool.
Exactly.
Because people are going to say, they don't look Muslim.
Right.
So they're not a threat. They're blonde
right.
and blue-eyed. Because right. you know if they were dark and had curly hair, ooh, that looks like one of them ISIS
right.
folk.
Right. Right. And I just say, because the thing is I just don't like the fact that they use that to explain. Because it's not the reason. It's strictly prejudice. Because I know there's black people that don't look, you know, don't fit the criteria, but still face racial discrimination.
Right.
And there's white people that fit the criteria, and police will look totally different way. And that's not fair that they try to use that example of saying that black people carry themselves a certain way, which is why they target black people. It's not why they target minorities. They target minorities because there's a racist overtone that's been here for years, ever since I can remember. And it's also not just dealing with the criminal world, is also in corporate America and pretty much every facet of life that you can pretty much think of. There's always going to be a racial undertone that's not addressed, which needs to be addressed.
Absolutely. Good points, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Judy at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos.
Yes, ma'am.
As far as that speech, I taped a little bit. But it sounds like just the same old routine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he can't feel it really from his heart, you know? It's just like he got a speech or something. And not only that, you had mentioned about the amount of money that the schools, is it what they're getting?
The recommendation of what they would get for next school year, the 2015-2016 school year, and the 2016-2017 school year.
Okay, but then they laid off all these teachers. How, you know, weird is that, you know? If they couldn't come up with all this kind of money and they don't laid off these teachers, I mean, that's just cold. That's just a cold, you know, that's just bad.
Well, IPS has not said how many teachers they may or may not lay off yet this year.
I mean, last year, wasn't it?
Well, and last year was because the funding was lower. The school year we're in now, the funding was lower.
Uh-huh.
You know, IPS's funding basically has declined for years. And when you have less money and less students, you don't need as many teachers. That's just a cold fact of life.
Now, Mr. White, now why did they give him all this money to let him do whatever, you know? I don't understand that.
What do you mean, to when he left?
You know how they bought him out to...
Because he had a contract the way athletes have a contract, the way coaches in the professional coaches or college coaches have a contract. He had a... Or the way... Take the black guy that was running McDonald's, who suddenly said he was going to retire after 3 years being the head of McDonald's. He had a contract. And in order for him to leave the job, they had to pay him a certain amount of money.
Oh, that's their policy, huh?
It's what's the contract. People put clauses in the contract that say, if I have to leave for
Yeah, but people, who are these people? You know, if they tell them to jump off a lake or something.
No.
I don't mean we going to do that.
No, first of all, there was a contract agreed to by the school board.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These people who are the school boards, ones that Mr. White or Glenda
not Glenda Ritz, but it would be the elected school board of a school district.
Right, in the past.
In the past.
And also, I'd like to encourage the teachers that was laid off to go into tutoring. go and get smart and go in tutoring.
Well, wait, I'm going to tell you another secret. A lot of the teachers that got laid off from IPS had found new jobs, many of them in teaching in other school districts.
So well,
these are not people that are that ended up at the unemployment line, trust me. But anyway, good points. Let me go to Cooper at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I want to make two quick points.
Uh-huh.
One, we saw Selma this past weekend, and one of the points that really stuck out to me was about how we affect the consciousness for change. Instead of us trying so hard to make people do things different, we have to get their hearts to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about racial profiling, we talk about the different aspects, even how we are treating IPS in regards to the money, or how IPS is being treated in regards to the money. It's the heart of the matter of how we see each other. I think that, you know, we talk a lot about the problems,
mm-hmm.
but the solution is that just we have to keep knocking at the hearts of people to love people, period blank. And then secondly, I think that if we really, 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 really want IPS to be treated right, we have to treat IPS like it's our baby, like it's our children. Like we have to collectively get together and say, look, IPS belongs to us. And we invest, because these are our babies, we invest ourselves. We support our schools. We show a presence, because nobody's going to give us anything, and they don't care how much... I'm going to say brown nosing you do to make it seem like, okay, well, you know, do this for our kids. These are our babies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't take care of home, who will? Thank you for taking my call.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's back to the phones. And Jane Doe, hi there.
Let me explain. One of the problems is you can't make nobody like you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get nobody to love you, they're not going to like you. That's number one. This thing of racism is so deeply rooted that I don't think that will ever change, because it's a biblical side to that, too. Now, the idea in America and all everywhere else, for some reason, the black people of color are just alienated. They just don't like us. So that settles that. Now, economically, if Afro-Americans would come together, they could, and stop being just consumers and be producers, it would be better. But they're not going to do that. So you got to change that mindset. Even Ferguson was a living example. They had minorities as the majority, but yet still the police representation wasn't even minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we sit back, just like this thing that's going on? It's just an attack on the public school system. Ain't nothing wrong with IPS. A lot of folks don't admit it. You, Amos, might have been a product of IPS. There's nothing wrong with IPS. But if you sit up here, let these folks drain that money. Actually, the charter school system is nothing but a Bush type of deal. Oaks Academy, Mitch Daniels money's over there. It's a lot to this thing. People don't look into that, but they don't say anything. Just keep on business as usual. No. Dr. King had the right idea. Economically, you have to attack it.
Mm-hmm. No, you got a good point.
Really, because we got it. We could do it. But that's what even the people down south, they proved. It's just like the woman that they gave the autobiography about in St. Louis, how she became this, that, and that.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to stop it. We're attacking each other, even now.
All right, good points, my sister. The other thing is, it's not just IPS losing money. The folks in Warren Township need to rise.
Look at the district. The numbers, how many, the race comparison. I mean, you know, most of those districts, especially Lawrence, they really didn't want the migration to go down. They didn't want diversity.
Well, but hold on. Lawrence Township, Pike Township, Warren Township, and Wayne Township, and Washington Township are all districts where minorities are in the majority in those school districts. That's a fact.
And are they losing money?
Nope. The only one that's not getting the kind of increase they ought to get is Warren Township, and it makes no sense to me.
Well, that's what they need to object to.
They need.
I tell you what, if you take your money. It's one thing about our Caucasian brother.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up their women. We got more probably biracial kids now than ever.
Right.
I remember this. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get off the air. Years ago, George Wallace, the governor, said, if you integrate the schools, you'll open up the white woman's bedroom. Check it out. It's history.
Okay. I remember that. I got to move on and take a break.
Okay,
I appreciate your comments. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after News with Amos. We'll be back with our remaining moments and more of your calls and comments after these.
This is Emmy Award-winning anchor Andrea Moorhead from Channel 13. You're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Back to the phones. Oh, speaking of that, I think Andrea Moorhead will be with us tomorrow. She's got some special things she's doing on Eyewitness News Channel 13 that she wants to tell everybody about before they tune in. You know why that is. You know what? Tomorrow's Thursday. And they got this battle going in network TV between Scandal and How I Get Away with Murder, Grey's Anatomy Night versus, what's that show, Blacklist? Yeah, that, not Blackish, Blacklist. I get confused. All this black. And so it's an NBC, ABC, Shonda Rhimes versus that bald headed white guy thing that's on TV on Thursday nights. And this is Wednesday night. So this is Taraji P. Henson night. Cookie in there. Why don't they just call that show Cookie's Empire and forget about, the brother? Cause Cookie done stole that Empire show. Shelly, you agree? You know, I love the brother, but Cookie done. Back to serious things. Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, man. You are funny.
Wait, but I'm telling the truth.
You are funny. What I wanted to say was, we need to continue to teach our children. It starts at home. Everything that goes on, the white police that hate us, mm-hmm. are taught that. The black people are taught to be hated. But we need to love one another.
Absolutely.
And the crime against our own race that the black people are doing against black people, that's bananas to me. I love the speech the man gave, but like the other caller said, it sounded okay, but realistically, we have to be real. The black police that they never go any further to discipline people that break the law, because in that organization that they're in, them good old boys know where they live, their grandparents and all that, and I believe that it's fear. I believe that the fear of the black man, the black police, with the black organization, see, it's something that they do that we don't know about, but you know enough to know.
Right.
But I think that if we teach, we need to stop killing one another as black people. Quit robbing, quit stealing, quit hating on each other. I'm yelling because I want everybody to hear it.
That's what we
need to stop doing.
I agree with you, and it was so interesting last night. We had two murders and one wounded. And it was interesting, the news media at first tried to make everybody think that that tragedy was in a black neighborhood when it wasn't. At first when it came out, I said, East Side shooting. And I'm going, oh no, not again. And then when
let me tell you something, Amy.
Yeah.
I lived in the East Side.
Yeah.
I lived in the West Side. I've lived in the South Side, and I've lived in the North Side. It's white folks everywhere, black folks, and even Hispanic people. Crime is crime.
Crime is crime.
Shame is when it's a black on black crime. I'm not saying that glorifying white on white crime or any crime. No crime is good. But black people, stop robbing, killing, stealing, hating, doing the things you do against your own race. That's why the police sit back and watch us, because we do it to ourselves. They don't have to do nothing to us, because we do it to ourselves.
Good point, my sister. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name. Is back to the phones. And Gina. Gina, you got about a minute.
Okay, how y'all doing today? All right?
We're fine. What's up?
All I wanted to say about the education system, when I came here from New York around in the early 90s, late 80s, my daughter got in school, Emmanuel High School, and she, in 3 months, she was on the honor roll. But I've been monitoring the school systems ever since. It is too much emphasis on who, what, where, when, and why. Maybe I should look at New York, because they do districts. Wherever the school is sitting, that's the daggone district.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's no argument about whose township, academy, and this. If it's academy, usually maybe rich people do pay for their kids to go to school. But we don't know, because we still, me, I'm getting ready to graduate in Purdue as an engineer. She's an architect. And we don't know what district we was in.
Well, and Indianapolis is one of only three cities in the country, Phoenix, Arizona, and Sacramento, California, where the school district does not cover the entire city. This is a weird, bizarre system. And there is no will to create one big school system.
Now, could it have been because the Ku Klux Klan started here? Segregation, it's terrible here. It's terrible. I see it. And yeah, they may not be a club that's, in full effect, but there's reminiscences of slavery, like the school system. We went to school at 4 years old. We had to get on the bus for either the morning half or the afternoon half.
Right.
And so all these kids in the hood, they got this home schooling and all this stuff. You don't know what's going on.
All right.
Too much going on.
All right, Gina, you made some good points. I like you're outside in the cold, so I'm going to let you warm up a little bit. Let me go to Wanda. I think Wanda may have the last word for the day. Hi, Wanda.
Hey, Angus, I'm going to be real brief about my comment. I came in on the last part of it, but my comment is, why the speech now? Where was the speech when all the black people was getting killed, all the black kids were getting killed? Now all of a sudden these white cops or the policemen are targeted and we got a speech. But where was the speech then?
Let me back up a second. The speech of the director, he spoke specifically about the two police officers that were killed in New York City,
mm-hmm.
who were not white. One was Latino, one was Asian, and he specifically, talked about the fact that they were minority. And I think he, in an interview, Director Comer of the FBI said that he felt that he, given the position that he has in law enforcement and the kind of overview that he has, he felt it on his heart that he needed to speak out.
Okay, now that the police are targeted, there's a speech.
He was specifically responding to both of the tragedies, the Eric Garner and the Michael situation, both the Ferguson and the New York and the Staten Island, the New York killings of African Americans, as well as the police officers. He was talking about the whole situation. Now, we can argue, why didn't he do it a year ago, 3 years ago, five years ago? And that's a fair criticism. But I think, for the director of the FBI, given the history of the FBI and all the mess they've been involved in over the years, I think it's more significant than if the attorney general had spoken. Because remember, when the attorney general spoke, everybody said, Eric Holder's just saying that because he's black. When all of a sudden the head of the FBI speaks, that's a whole different situation because of what the institution stands for and the sin they had. Because everybody know the FBI sinned on a whole lot of stuff, and not just J. Edgar Hoover.
That's covered up.
So sometimes when it's almost like Pope Francis. When Pope Francis speaks now, talking about the sins of his religion and that they got to clean up their act, because you've heard him preaching, right?
Yes.
And talking about, hey, we got to clean up our own house. Sometimes the Lord sends someone within a fraternity or within a group to say first to that group, you got to clean up your act.
Well, now let's just see what happens.
And I think that's the thing. I think his thing was, I want my agency, the FBI, to be the ones gathering this data so we can find out what is the problem and help by gathering the data to move us forward. So now it's on him. He said he was going to do something. So the proof is in the pudding. You're absolutely right.
Now go into the black neighborhoods and talk to them, and they can tell them a whole lot.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to go in there. I'd love to see the FBI director go in some of these neighborhoods. I'd love to see him come into Hallville. Because here's the other thing. FBI rarely gets out and talks to folk. At least we can say our sheriff's office comes out. We can say IMPD comes out and talks to the community. You rarely hear the FBI come out and talk to the community. One of the greatest things the FBI could do is to get out of their office that's up in Castleton next to the Costco with the barbed wire.
Yes.
You know, come out of that fortress that they built, and they built it for all the right, I know why it has to be a fortress. I get that. But come out there and go to the beauty shops. Come out there and go to the barber shops.
There you go.
Act like, what was that movie, Miss Congeniality? Get out here and act like Sandra Bullock did in that movie. Am I right? Because what was it, in that movie she goes in the classroom and talks to that student at the end of that second Miss Congeniality 2? FBI agents need to get out in our schools. When was the last time you ever saw an FBI agent, except on TV?
You haven't.
You see real police. You see real sheriffs. You occasionally see a state policeman. But you don't ever see an FBI guy or lady.
They only come out when they need to.
They need to get out when they not need to. Wouldn't that be great to have FBI walking around Expo? Not to patrol, just to meet people. I'd like to see an FBI today. Hey, do you look like Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. or do you look like Sandra Bullock? Anyway, good way to end today. Thank you all. We'll do it all again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
We'll do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same station. We don't know if Shelley will be here. But she did a great job. She passed. Yay! Anyway. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1:00.